And everybody said, praise the Lord. Praise God. God is so very good to us. And we are wonderfully blessed. What a great day to be in the kingdom of God. Great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. We're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 10. So good to see all of our guests here. And some of you are visitors from a while back. And some of you are family. And you're traveling for the holy days, and we're all glad to see every one of you. Glad to have you in the Lord's house today. We're going to read from Luke chapter 10, and we're going to continue a study through the Old Testament, and we're in 2 Kings at this point. But we're going to read in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Praise the Lord. It came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's give God thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for every blessing. We give you all the glory and the honor. Praise God. And everybody said, praise the Lord. This book of 2 Kings is a narrative concerning a pretty broad span of time back in the 7th and 8th centuries B.C., in the time of the reading today or the study today, Jehoram is king of Israel and Jehoshaphat is king of Judah. And the prominent prophet of the day, although there are many and there is a literal school of prophets, the prophet of note in this time frame is the prophet Elisha, the young man who was the son of Shaphat, who poured water over the hands of the prophet Elijah. And as we're moving into this this study of 2 Kings, we come to a little town called Shunem, and that little town is a place up south of the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's to the east of the Jordan River. And it's a place pretty obscure in the mention of the scriptures. It is a place where very few people have come from of notoriety. It's in part of the inheritance of the tribe of Issachar. But the scripture said there was a great woman, and a great woman of Shunem, and we know her in the lore of scripture as simply the Shunammite. And the Shunammite is a woman that is great for what reasons we don't know. Scripture doesn't give you any kind of a biography on her. It doesn't tell you why or how she came to be great. But in this reading in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, we understand that she's a great woman, but we see her greatness exhibited in her interaction with the man Elisha. Verse 8 of chapter 4. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She was already a woman of possession and a woman of authority and somebody of power in the social circle of her city. But in this, she stands out from everybody else. In this, she's different from everybody else in the region. because the prophet comes by and the Bible said she constrained him to stop and have bread at her house. And then it says that from that time on, that when he was through, he would turn in thereto, or he would go into her house. Because that first time, she stopped him and said, I need you to come to my house. I want you to come into my house and sit at my table and have bread in my house and just be in my home. And she is one of those in a long line of people who have stopped God in his tracks. In the days of Jesus Christ, there's one named Bartimaeus who was blind. And Jesus passed by many that were blind. But we know the name Bartimaeus, or the son of Timaeus, because he cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we tell the story of the little woman with the issue of blood. Although there were many elders and many elderly women and widows in the cities that Jesus passed through. But we know about her, Brother Sylvester, and we talk about her. And she's an inspiration to us, because as Jesus pressed through the crowd, there was one that pressed through all of the resistance and all of the humanity around her. And she laid a hand on the hem of his garment. There are those who are content to let him pass by. And then there are those that say, I have a need. I've got a situation. I've got a need in my life, and I need God to stop. I don't need him to pass by. This Shunammite saw a man of God passing by, if you would, emblematic of the word of God passing by, or the kingdom of God passing by. And she said, I can't have it pass by. I've got to have him come into my home. I can't just let the kingdom go by my life. I've got to constrain him. She constrained him to come in to her home. She, by force, had him come into her home. He might have acted like he was one to walk by, but she was one of those women, and you've met them before. I won't hear anything else. You're going to come in. I won't hear anything else. You're going to sit down. No, sir, you're going to have a bite to eat here at this house. We won't have it any other way. Don't say a word. You're going to sit at my table. You're going to eat of this bread. Have you met her? I've met her. And she made him come in. She constrained him to come in. She wasn't content to let him pass by and go on another way. In our world today, there are so many that are content. Their lives are full. Their hands are full. Their minds are full. Their schedules are full. And as they are, the Savior, as he has always, he, at the rising of the sun, he begins to move across the face of a nation or a continent or through the streets of a city, and he begins to seek for one with a hungry heart. And as his nature is, he'll always act as though he's going to pass you by. And it's not really a game. He's looking for somebody that will constrain him to stop and to come in and to sup with him. Somebody say praise the Lord. God's always looking for a hungry heart, a heart that's willing to say, come to my house, a heart that's not so full of everything else that it can't see the need for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. She told her husband in chapter 4, verse 9, she said, I perceive that this is a man of God, that a holy man that passes by us continually. She said, I've got a perception. I've got a revelation. I'm seeing something the neighbors don't see. I'm perceiving something that somebody else can't see. And it's a little out of the ordinary. It's a little unusual. Not everybody responds that way. But in this house today and in this city today, there are those that are not content. They're not willing to let the Spirit of God pass them by. They're not willing to let the Word of God pass them by. They're hungry for more of God in their lives. They're looking for more.
My God, it's a startling thing to me to want to engage somebody in a conversation about the things of God. And they say, oh, I already know that. I'm already saved. I've already heard that. I've got plenty. I've got all I need. My God, tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart. Every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. I want to hear it again. Preach to me again, preacher. Lay hands on me and pray for me again. I want to hear the songs again. I want to sit among the people again. I want to hear the sounds of praise again. I want to bask in his presence again. My God, how can you ever get full of God?
You're only full of God if you have a very small appetite for the things of God. Praise God. Praise God. And in verse 8, and it was so that as often as he passed, he turned in there. He was welcome. He was wanted. And he turned in there. You know, that is the way of God. If he can find somebody that's interested and that's hungry, and that's open, somebody that'll make a little place for him, he always will come in. Somebody say praise the Lord. Later on in this reading, the relationship progresses. And the woman makes a decision and she comes to her husband. And she says, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be. And the husband's sitting there thinking, painting and building, and he likes the building and all, but he doesn't like the honeydew list. And she's furnishing this, and she sees it, and she understands there's a vision involved, and there's a lot of work involved, and there's going to be quite a bit of expense involved. But she's made a decision, and she's trying to engage her husband in this decision. And she says, let's make a chamber for him. Let's make a wall for him, and a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us, then he will turn in thither. She said, I want him always here. I don't want him just coming by chance. I want him when he comes to see that we've got a place prepared for him. I want him when he comes by to know I've got him on my mind. I've got a bed. I want him to come and stay the night. I've got a light. I want him to come and do his study here. I've got everything he needs, and anything he could want, I've got it in this place. I want him to feel hospitality when he comes. I don't want him to feel like somebody's watching the watch or the clock. I don't want him to feel like somebody's pressed for time. I don't want him to feel like he's a hindrance or a nuisance. I don't want him to think I'd rather he had just walked on by. I want him to know, God, you're welcome in my house. I want you in my house. I want you in my life. I'm glad you're here. Talk to me. Take as much time as you need. My life is yours. My time is yours. She said, let's make a little room for him. And let's fix it up nice. And when he comes in, well, praise the Lord. It's excellent to see you today. I'm so glad that you're here. I don't have any candy. Praise the Lord. Kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Jesus said, except you become as one of these, you shall in no wise have a part or a place in the kingdom. They're innocent. They are practically fearless. And they expect good things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The lady had a plan. She said, let's make the presence of God, the word of God, permanent. Let's make a place for him to come and stay whenever he wants to be there. The husband, I'm sure, is calculating there's going to be some expense. And there is expense when you invite God to come in and stay.
But it's, can anybody say praise the Lord? It is worth every nickel you'll ever spend. It is worth every ounce of energy you'll ever invest. Is there a witness in the house today? My God, do you believe it? I'm glad for everything I've put into the kingdom of God, and I look forward to putting more of myself into the kingdom of God. Praise God. You know, people build rooms in their lives for everything that's important. They make room in their life for family, and they make room in their life for hobbies. And they make room in their life. I'm talking about the rooms of your heart, the rooms of your passion. You always make room for those things that you really care about and that you really love. People have rooms for everything. And when you look at all the things that people are involved in, it's amazing that there's time enough to do all the... There's somebody sitting down in a tree stand today. There's somebody down by a fishing hole today. There's somebody off shopping today. Well, praise the Lord. There's somebody out working today and making money today. And in each of those, they've made room in their life for those things. And all of those things are fine. And all of them are wonderful. There are some that are not so wonderful. There are people that make room in their life for a bar room or a room in their life for drunken parties or for crack houses or for drug abuse. In those areas, they make a room in their life, and it takes up time and it takes up money, and it's an expensive thing to be involved in. But people make rooms in their lives for the things that they care about, for the things that they have desire for. This woman said, of all the things in my life, I want to build a room for God. I want to make room for God. And I know she's living and doing in the natural and in the literal, but in the figurative today, it is of necessity that we have a room in our lives for God, that we have a place that we've built by our hands for the kingdom of God. You may not have a room that is a room built like this room would have been for a prayer room or for a word room or for a room to engage in the presence of God, but in your life and in your spirit and in your schedule and in your time and in your expenditures, you've got to have a room for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. It's not enough to visit the things of God. It's not enough to come in here and tag up on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. But my God, this is something I need with me on Monday morning. I need it on Monday afternoon. I'm going to need it on Tuesday in the middle of the night. On Thursday when I wake up, I need God in my life and the promise of God and the protection of God and the provision of God. I don't need just to come in a house and touch and tag and visit the things of God. I want him to live with me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. A room on my house where God is a welcome guest. A permanent open door where anytime he wants to come in, he can come in. Praise God. Now God, I love you, but when I'm with these folks, I really can't visit with you too much because you know how they are. They don't want you around, and I wouldn't want to be embarrassed, God. So don't show up on the job when I'm being macho man and I'm being a diligent, hardworking man, and I've got to have the esteem and the praise of those around me. God, don't show up then. I really don't have an open door for you then. God, don't show up when I'm with my secular buddies, or don't show up when I'm down at the hunting camp, God, and don't don't show up when I'm with my ladies that I spend time with. They don't really live it like this. They don't believe it like this. And we don't talk about it so much. God, I just couldn't have you moving on me there, God. And something beginning to move. And God, the Holy Ghost coming down. And I don't know what I'd do, God. I just, let's leave the door closed to these areas, God. You really can't have an open, my God. I want God to have an open door to come down anytime he wants, to touch me whenever he's ready, to move on me. Gotta have him in my house. I want him in my home. I want him in my family. I want him in my life, in my circle of friends. God, I want you to have an open door. God, I want you to come whenever you're ready, to walk in anytime unannounced. Praise God. I don't want to live so that I've got things I've got to change, or things I've got to get rid of, or attitudes I've got to correct. I don't want to, get that out of the way. God just came in the door. I want to have a household and a family and a life and a lifestyle where he can come anytime he likes, and the door is wide open, and we don't have to hustle around and clean it up on his behalf. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. Because she opened the door, and because she constrained him, and because she made a permanent place for him to come in, there was a blessing that came down. Elisha sitting in that room, and he said, Gehazi, go get that Shunammite woman. And Gehazi went and got her. And then he said, Gehazi, ask her what she needs. And Gehazi asked her what she needed. Do you need us to speak to the king? Do you need us to speak to the captain of the host? Do you need some political favor? Do you need some, you want us to take care of somebody for you? What do you want us to do? He just opened wide. What do you need? And she said, I have everything I need. I'm right here among my people. I dwell among my people, and I'm a happy lady. Gehazi, after she had gone, said, she's old. Her husband's old, and they don't have a son. And Elisha spoke for the first time directly to the woman. And he said, in about a year, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son. She said, don't lie to me, man of God. She said, don't fool with me. I got you in here. I made the food. I got the house built. But don't be yanking my chain. Don't tell me this unless you're going to do it, is what she meant. And he left off, and in about a year, she had a little boy. When you make room for God in your life, there's always a blessing that'll come down on that. There's always a blessing that'll come down on the place where the Word of God is welcome, where the Spirit of God is welcome, where the people of God open their hearts. There's always a blessing that comes down. You young people that are just starting your homes, and you're just starting your families, and you're just starting your routines, you want to make sure there's room for God in that. I'm working, and she's working, and we're all so busy, and the schedule's full. Yeah, I understand that. But make room for God. You don't know. I'm telling you, make room for God. On the upside, real quickly, there's always a blessing that comes down when you make room for God in your house. I know you're busy. I know you're tired. I know it's hard, but take some time for that time of prayer together. Take some time, do that Bible study together. Take some time, make preparation. Well, when we have kids, that's when we'll pick that up. No. You need to do that right now, because you'll set those habits in place, and you need to refine that lifestyle. And when the kids come, they'll just plug into it, and God will already be there. Don't wait to do it as a model for the children. Do it now. Make a room. It's never too late to make a room for the things of God in your life, to make a place in your schedule. There always is a blessing that comes down on a home that makes room for God. Is there anybody here that can say amen to that? Has anybody here received a blessing just because you opened up the door and you let him in? My God, let's love him for it. Is anybody blessed? Is anybody thankful today? Hallelujah. 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 God, I'm thankful for every night that you came in unannounced and you woke me from sleep and we walked together in the dark of that house and you talked to me about my soul and about the plan of God. God, I'm glad for every night you came in and you tucked in my children and you looked at them and you claimed them as your own. God, I'm glad for every night you came and you set the guard of angel around my house like a hedge so no evil could come in there. God, I'm glad for the blessing of God that comes down upon a home that makes room for God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him. Let's bless his name. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad for the... Are you glad for the blessing of God in your life? All right, God, if you're blessed, tell your neighbor. Tell him. Tell him God has blessed me. Come on. Praise God. And it... There was a time span. We don't know how long. It said when the child was grown, I don't think he was 30. Because of the way they handle him physically. I think maybe he was 12 or 10. Still light enough for that lady to carry him up to the prophet's chamber. But after a passage of time, the boy is out in the field with the dad and the workers. And he starts complaining about his head. And the dad tells the servants, take him into his mom. And they take the boy into the mom, and she gathers him up on her lap. I don't think he's 30. 8, 10, I don't know. Sitting on her lap, and he stayed on her lap till about noon, and then he died. Just out of the blue, he died. She took him and she went and laid him down on that prophet's bed. The bed that was in the room that she had built for the prophet. The place that she had prepared for the person, for the things of God. Praise God. She took that startling, harrowing, tragic need, and she had a place to lay that need. She couldn't have told, nobody warned her. She could not have told that that was going to come to pass. She had no clue, no hint. But I'll tell you this today, life will always deliver to you a need, a situation, an event, a tragedy that is beyond your control. Out of your range of power. You may be doing wonderfully right now. It may be sailing along and everything's paid up and everybody's healthy and all things are wonderful. But if you live long enough, life will always come and touch you. I'm not trying to scare you, and this is not spooky spiritual. This is just life. Life is a hard place. Life is short and full of trouble, the Bible says. Life will always come in the message from the lips of a doctor or in a crashing, squealing wreckage on a highway or in a phone call in the middle of the night. Life always will barge in to your tranquility. Always bring you a need, a situation that is beyond your reach. Has anybody here ever heard a report or ever had to deal with something that immediately it struck you to the core and you knew, I don't have any strength for this. I don't have any answer for this. I don't know how to deal with this or rectify this. And that woman, she's been hit by a bus. She's been blasted from something that was so precious to her. Now it's caused her so much pain. But she takes that lifeless little boy, and she's not like those that let the man of God pass by. She's not like those that just continued on their busy secular commercial life. She's not like those that were only about building things and saving it up and harvesting and planting and all of the business of life. She wasn't like those. She had made a room in her house for the things of God. And now when the need comes, she's got a place to lay the need. She takes the need and she lays it on the prophet's bed. She goes to the field and she tells her husband, get one of the servants. I need a donkey. I need a servant. We're going up to the prophet's house. He said, it's not first fruits. It's not seasonal. It's not time. Why are you going today? She never said anything about their boy. She said, it's all right. She said, it's all right. He doesn't even know what's happened yet, but she said, it's all right. She told the servant, she said, don't slow down for me unless I ask you to. They're booking it to the prophet's house. They're going up. This is the first time this has ever happened. But because she's got an open door for him, she knows that he'll have an open door for her. There's going to be a time when you love the presence of God just coming into your house. The presence of God coming down into your life. But I'll tell you, as sure as you're in this house today, there'll be a day when you need to go up to God's house and you don't need to find the door shut and you don't need to find God unresponsive. She made room for God. And she knew God would make room for her. She's on her way to the prophet's house. On her way to the prophet's house. And the prophet sees her. Gehazi, it's that Shunammite. She's coming. And he said, I don't know why she's coming. And he's a prophet. And he doesn't know why she's coming. Gehazi, go see what's happening with her. Goes down and Gehazi comes. How's everything? Yeah, husband well, your child well, your family, everything's good. She said, it's well. And she never stops. She never slows down for Gehazi. Never slows down. Gehazi comes back and reports, and Elisha says, she is in bitterness of heart, and God has hid it from me. She gets to him. She lays down and grabs him by his ankles. You don't do that to a stranger. You don't just walk up to anybody. But she knows she's invested in this guy. She knows she has access. God, I'm glad for the scripture that says we can go boldly into the throne room of God to find grace, mercy. In a time of need, she grabs him by his ankle. He says, how is everything? She said, didn't I tell you don't lie to me? Didn't I tell you? I didn't ask you for a son. He said, Gehazi, take my staff and take my cloak here and go down and lay these on that boy and hurry, because he can't go anywhere, because she's got him by his ankles. And Gehazi goes and lays the staff down on him and lays the garment down. Nothing comes back.
He's dead. He didn't get up. And so Elisha goes. Elisha goes himself. He goes in. He talks to God for a while. Walks up and down. Talks to God. And he stretches himself out over that little form. And he warms it up, the Bible says. Mouth to mouth. Eyes to eyes. Hands to hands. And then he gets up and he walks a little more. And then he comes back. And he lies down. And the little fella sneezes 7 times. And gets up. And Elisha says, now here, you have your son. Neat story. Wonderful. And we're not going to swing off into the theological ramifications of 7 sneezes. Not interested in that right now. Just the sweetness of a need so great that humanly it is impossible to rectify or answer or change or help. But she had a place to bring her need. And see, that's the conundrum. People come to God when they're in need. And that's okay, because God takes us when we come to Him. But I want to tell you that if you'll make a room for God in your home, that when the need comes, you'll have a place to lay your need. And it will come. Some of these major life issues and tragedies, you always project on somebody else. It always happens to somebody else. But it'll come, and when you least expect it, it'll lay its old cold hand on your shoulder. And you'll walk with that. I thank God that there's a place where we can carry a need in a moment so disastrous that we're speechless and helpless. I thank God that I can make a preparation. I can build a room in my life that God will come in and out anytime He wants to. But there's going to come a day when I have a need. I can go in that room. I can lay that need down. And it's not just going to serve God. It's going to serve me. Praise God. I'm so glad that when that event comes to my life or to my house, that I've got access to the house of God, because I've made access for Him in my home. I've seen a lot of people come to an altar and really pour themselves out and beg and plead and mourn and bargain and deal in an altar. But there's just so far they can go, and it seems like they don't have much access. But it's not a mystery, because if you go back to their house, there's room for everything else. Room for everything under the sun, but no room for God. And that road of access, it goes both ways. Praise God. We read a scripture in the opening this morning about a little house in Bethany. It's a house that was owned by a lady named Martha. And you, from your Sunday school years up, have heard and you've known about Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And they are friends of Jesus. And He feels the liberty. You find Him in Bethany quite often. He feels the liberty to go into their house. And Martha's always cooking for Him. And Mary's always sitting at His feet listening to Him talk. And I don't know what Lazarus did until he died. But when the message came to Jesus that there was sickness and death moving in that house, there was sickness and death all over Palestine, all over Judea. But when He heard the word that there was a need in that house, He waited long enough for Lazarus to die. But He made His way back to Bethany. Mary met Him on the way up to the house. Martha met Him on the way up to the house. The Bible said that He wept. And there's a lot of conjecture about why He wept. But I know he loved those people. Brother Warren, he had been in their home, been a guest at their table. There wasn't any way that he was going to watch them heartbroken and not do something for them. Let me tell you something. It's a good day to have God as a friend. He came back to that house at Bethany, and you know the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. But he came back to a place where he was familiar, where he was known, where they had sat and communed together. And Martha could tell him, she didn't have to come to him with any religious pretense. She just told him like the woman in the Old Testament, the Shunammite, said, "Didn't I tell you not to give me a son?" Martha said, "If you'd have been here, brother Lazarus wouldn't have died." They were open, they were candid with one another. And God walked in an Old Testament and a New Testament passages. He raises the dead to life again. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Could you just lift up your hands for a moment here? Just love him a little bit. Mighty God, I want to make room in my life for you. Some of you are in need right now. You need to build a room in your life for God. You need to constrain him to come in. Hallelujah. Praise God. This story is real for the people that are in the narrative, and it's very instructive for us. But none of the miracles that Jesus did, or none of the miracles that you see in the Old Testament, are simply for the benefit of those that are the recipients of the miracle. You have to wonder about this. He heals blinded eyes, but those blinded eyes, it's only temporary. They close again in death. He raises people from the dead, but it's not permanent. They die again another day. Everything that Jesus does, Old or New Testament, is didactic. It is intended to teach. When he raises the Shunammite's son, and when he raises up Lazarus, he's teaching on a spiritual level. He's saying death is not permanent, and it's not something that God can't rectify. Praise God. The real thrust of both of these stories today is that he is the resurrection and the life. There's going to come a day when death's going to walk into your house, whether you have a room for him or not, whether you've prepared for him or not. He doesn't operate by the rules that God operates by. Death just comes whenever the door is open. Death comes whenever an unguarded moment allows him. But the message in this Old and New Testament parallel today is that death is not permanent. And that even though you have a need that is greater than your power, because there's no, the Bible says there's no man that can avoid death. No man that can cause his soul not to pass out of this life. We are completely powerless. There's nothing so powerless as holding the body of somebody you love as life passes out of them. Nothing so powerless as touching that form that used to be so animate and so loving and so connected, and now it's gone. And that spark, whatever it was, is gone. It's so hard. It makes you feel so powerless. But I'm so glad that there's a place today that I can take those needs. I can lay them down in the house that I've built, in the room that I've fashioned just
for God. And every imponderable thing, I can bring it there. And every devastating moment, I can bring it there. And everything beyond my power, I can carry it into that place that I've prepared for God. Praise God. And in that he told Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. While we're here, he can resurrect dreams. He can resurrect hopes. He can resurrect marriages. He can resurrect broken homes. Ultimately, he can resurrect your dead loved one or resurrect you out of the clutches of something that you have no power over. Praise God. If you've made a room for him, let's stand together. Hallelujah. If you've got a room in your life for God, you ought to thank him for it this morning. If you've got one in progress, you need to let God know, God, I'm going to finish this project. I'm going to build this sure and strong in my house. And if you don't have one, this altar today is a place where you can come and begin to lay the first foundations. Praise God. I want to constrain you, God. Come into my house. I want to constrain you, God. Come in and eat at my house today. Anybody want to come and invite God into your house? Invite God into your life. God, I want you to come and sit at my table. I want you to be there, God. In the good and in the bad, every day that I live, I want you to be in my house. I want you to have access to God. Praise God. Pray, church. Do the work of the church. Pray, church. Hallelujah. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, God will fill you with that today. God will pour out his Spirit on you today.